Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, running nerds, it's Kyle Merber, and if you're listening to this podcast, then there's a high likelihood that you love track and field. In that case, I encourage you to subscribe to the Lap Count newsletter. It's my newsletter, helping fans stay up to date with all the thrilling action and biggest stories in the world of track and field, delivered right to your inbox every Wednesday morning. It's free. It takes less than a minute to sign up at thelapcount.com, and I think you'll enjoy it. Here's this week's newsletter, read by Chris Chavez.
Before we get into it, this week's newsletter is brought to you by On. Experience the magic of Penn Relays with On. Races, athletes, new kits, new faces, try the latest On running shoe innovations, customize your gear, and more. For the full event schedule, check out the Penn Relays website, and if you can't be there in person, follow On for all of the action. We will have a team at the Penn Relays for Sidious Mag, so stay tuned as we are proud to partner with them to capture all of the magic of the Penn Relays all throughout that weekend. All around the World Cross Country Championships.
Belgrade has always consistently bid and shown interest in our events. We don't lightly give a championships just to a city because I happen to like the restaurants or have good friends here. There is a good reason why we come here. The federation is world class. The political leadership at every level in the country endorses and does more than that. It invests in our sport. And once you have those two ingredients and you have a welcoming, hospitable local community and great volunteers, then you have the perfect storm. And that's why we come to Belgrade. It's a very simple proposition. But we know when we are here, we're in good and safe hands. And the championships tomorrow will be an absolute exemplar of the qualities that are available to us in this city and this country.
The Serbia-hosted World Cross Country Championships were not originally supposed to be held in the flat ground parks of the Park of Friendship in Belgrade. But alas, they were. In September, World Athletics announced an immediate search for a new host as the Croatian Plan A fell apart at both Medulin and Pula. Given Belgrade's short notice, it feels like this year's event deserves a pass despite the criticism about small crowds and a less than creative course. Maybe I'm feeling charitable, but beyond the date in the calendar, there's another parallel between Serbia's decision to step up as the host and Good Friday. Both involve paying the ultimate price for the sins of others. The truth is, it's been a rough few years for World Cross. Aside from the strong crowds and deep fields in Aarhus, Denmark at the 2019 edition, and while I want to acknowledge the fact that this year's host committee did put together a global championships event in a matter of months, I'd be remiss if I didn't also acknowledge that all course reports seem to indicate a subpar viewing experience with locals being boxed out from the action via fences. Prior to this past championships, there was a four-year World Cross gap due to the pandemic. We've had our rust buster. But now, heading into 2025 as a gap year, the official lap count stance is that there are no excuses. If it seems like that's a lot of pressure to put on Tallahassee in 2026 to reestablish World Cross Country Championships to the prestige of its heyday, that's because it is. But another official lap count stance is that I believe in Tallahassee and also that it's an underrated place for winter training. Part of the problem recently is that aside from the African powerhouses, very few countries now send their best squads or individuals. There are a few outliers, like Norway's Caroline Grovdahl, who finished 14th, or Team USA's Wayne Kaladi, who finished 15th. And on the men's side, France's Mehdi Frere and Australia's Patrick Tiernan will be competing in the marathon in Paris, but this was not a who's who of pending Summer Olympians. Across the board, only six men competed who also ran on the track at the 2023 World Championships in Budapest. That leaves a ton of room for improvement. For the first time since 1992, World Cross will be returning to the United States, which hopefully at least improves the prospects of our own squad, including our A-listers. A big advantage will be the timing. The race will take place in the beginning of January rather than at the end of March, as often is the tradition. The call of money on the roads is much too large to try and out-incentivize those athletes, but for track specialists, being well-timed within the buildup of the season could hopefully make it a more attractive option. Time to start pounding the "a world championships is a world championships" drum. A cross title doesn't need to come with an asterisk. Back-to-back jacks.
The defending champion will retain her title. She's Commonwealth champion. She's world champion at 5,000 metres. She's got golds galore back home, and she's going to add one more to that collection here today in Belgrade. She holds the world record for women over 5K on the roads. Today she has another gold on the country. She is world champion over women's 10 kilometres here.
In a perfect world, the competing athletes at world championships would be relatively consistent, and the strengths and weaknesses of each would be exposed according to the distance and the terrain. Just as Rafa Nadal dominates on clay courts, there would be venues better suited for the grinders versus the speed freaks. And if there's one athlete that would blow up this entire thought experiment and have no weakness, then it would be Beatrice Chebet. With a personal best of 14:05 for 5K to her name, Chebet has now collected her third individual global medal from World Cross, two senior titles, and a junior win from 2019. In 2023, Chebet took home hardware from the track in Budapest, the roads in Riga, and the grass of Bathurst. And if they ran indoor track in Kenya, then I'm certain that she'd have been coughing up a lung with a gold medal draped around her neck. This race played out more or less than expected. We were treated to the absolute dominance of the Kenyan women, who despite only needing four scores, swept the top five spots. They ran much of this race on top of one another like the 2011 Wisconsin men and scored a perfect 10 points just as they did before in 2017, albeit with an even tighter spread. If you've been yelling at the clouds this past couple years about shoe tech, the thing to love about cross country is that super shoes don't really do a whole lot here. The benefit of extreme levels of cushioning and carbon plates are reduced by the variability in each step and the slop of mud. And someone like Agnes Ngadic, who just ran a mind-shattering 10K world record of 28:46 on the roads, is suddenly relegated to being the fifth best on her own team, which is still light years, or 33 seconds, better than the rest of the world. While Kenya, with 10 points, Ethiopia with 41 points, and Uganda with 44 points on the podium were a foregone conclusion barring disaster, Team USA did finish among the best of the rest in a distant fourth place finish with 113 points. And Kiplimo was his name-o.
It is brilliant running from Jacob Kiplimo. He's done the least work necessary just to ease through to the front over the last lap and then pull away with a big, big acceleration. And he's made it look relatively easy against a field of the very highest caliber. Into the last 50 meters now, Jacob Kiplimo. He's still only 23. He has the world at his feet. He has the world's best distance runners behind him as he becomes world cross-country champion once again here in Belgrade. His time unofficially 28:09.
It wasn't much more than a year ago that I was penning articles claiming that Joshua Cheptegei would eventually go down as the greatest distance runner of all time. And there's still a chance that that'll prove true. But maybe we should be redirecting some of that attention toward his countryman, Jacob Kiplimo. Dating back to his first world cross country victory in Australia, Kiplimo has won his last three races against the Olympic and world champion. Kiplimo has now beaten Cheptegei on six occasions throughout their career versus nine head-to-head wins for Joshua. However, not once has it been on the track. If Kiplimo is to make the leap into the conversation about the best distance runner right now, let alone of all time, then he has to start winning on the oval. After watching him clear those bales of hay, maybe it'll be in the steeplechase. Kiplimo earned a bronze medal in the 10K in both Tokyo and Eugene, but due to a hamstring injury just before Budapest, he was unable to line up there. It feels inevitable that the golden snitch will find its way to him. At just 23 years old, he's got personal bests of 12:41 for 5K and 26:33 for 10K. The issue is that the roads will be calling his name soon, as he still holds the half marathon world record of 57:31. There might be a legitimate complaint about the depth of world cross country, but the front of the pack is star-studded. The once again silver medalist Berihu Araghawi of Ethiopia was fourth in Budapest in the 10K and has run 12:40 for 5K. The bronze medalist was Kenya's Benson Kiplangat, arguably not helping this argument because he's only run 13:02. But fourth place was Nicholas Kipkorir, and seventh was the world running half marathon champion Sebastian Kimaru Sawe, and yet Kiplimo made this look like just another park run. Kenya, with 19 points, won the team title. Uganda took second with 31 points. And Ethiopia rounded out the podium with 40 points. Team USA finished seventh. Mixed relay, rave reviews.
It's been a wonderful team effort from the four Kenyans. They have given their all. Chariot, Naimbura, Munguti, and Purity Chepkirui here over the final few dozen meters. Approaches the line. She will be celebrated and greeted by her teammates, of course. She continues to look focused and determined as the gap grows back to second place. But it's a massive gap, and that's a big win for the Kenyan quartet.
I'm always saying two things. One, there are too many events. And two, we should focus more on racing and less on time. And while the mixed relay flies in the face of that first argument, it's just about as good as it gets in terms of the second. Think about it. Cross country is pure racing. Time doesn't matter, and tactically, you're up against your competition as well as the constantly shifting terrain. How do we make time matter even less, and the course less predictable, and thus the racing even purer? Easy. Make it a relay with a weird enough distance. 1,887 meters long, with the first and last legs roughly 200 meters longer. That nobody's going to know how to pace that, especially through the mud. So while the mixed relay on the track still hasn't earned my praise, I'll give it credit here. A suggestion for Tallahassee in 2026. Don't announce the relay course ahead of time, and before each leg, show the athletes how far they're going to run at the last possible minute via a janky sign that resembles the train departure notifications at Penn Station. Oh, and what happened in this year's race, you're probably wondering? Kenya dominated, Ethiopia ran well but lost a shoe, Great Britain scored its first world cross medal in God knows how long, and Team USA struggled a bit on the anchor as Katie Izzo missed 5 weeks of training due to a broken bone in her foot. A quick break to shout out our other sponsor, the Bermuda Grand Prix. If you're interested in a spring getaway to a warm weather destination and also want to watch some quality track and field, plus get a chance to meet some of the biggest stars, the Bermuda Grand Prix has put together several packages to bring you that experience from April 26th to 29th. Spectator and Olympic alumni packages include round-trip airport pickup and drop-off at the hotel accommodations at the Coco Reef Resort, tickets to the opening and closing events, access to the USATF Bermuda Grand Prix, ground transportation to the National Sports Center, and more. It's never been easier to get to Bermuda. Plus, your stay at the Coco Reef Resort is just 10 minutes from the city of Hamilton, centrally located, close to the track, restaurants and bars, and most importantly, just steps from the beach. The meet at Flora Duffy Stadium is on April 28th and starts at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be televised on NBC from 5 to 7 p.m. You can also find general ticket information on the website linked within the show notes. If you enjoyed our conversation of office hours with Coach Mark Coogan, we've got a treat for you. This week, Kyle managed to chat with Coach Justin Rinaldi of the Fast 8 Track Club. In 2018, Josh Hoey ran 147.67 to set the high school indoor national record. He turned pro rather than attend Oregon. Hoey then ran a personal best of 147 this indoor season, but this weekend had a huge breakthrough to win the Florida Relays in 145. His brother Jackson also ran a new personal best of 146. And I didn't realize that the pair is now being coached by Justin Rinaldi. So Kyle thought it would be a good opportunity to catch up with the Australian coach about how some of his star pupils are progressing this Olympic year. We will have that conversation published as a podcast later this week. In the meantime, if you want to read it, check it out at thelapcount.com or on sidiousmag.com. Here's what else you need to know from this past week. The Gainesville Elite Squad that included Grant Holloway, PJ Austin, Arian Knighton, and Joseph Bonbelay ran 37.67 to set a world lead in the 4x1. They were excited after the race. We have an interview with them up on the Sidious Mag YouTube channel. They have some really fun comments about how they are hoping that Team USA takes notice of this performance when it eventually comes down to making decisions for the relays. The team composed of Christian Coleman and Noah Lyles unfortunately did not get to stick around, so we were robbed of being able to see Noah Lyles versus Joe Fombele on that anchor leg. Quincy Wilson opened up his outdoor season with a win at the Florida Relays in a new personal best of 45.19, which is an Olympic trials qualifier. It hit me this week that my 2-year-old daughter is now closer in age to the 16-year-old superstar than I am, and damn, I wasn't expecting to reflect on my own mortality while writing a track and field newsletter. Wilson's fellow sophomore, not mine, Elizabeth Leachman won the 5K at the Texas Relays in a largely solo effort, running 1525.27 to set a new high school national record. She now owns the indoor and outdoor record, only a month apart. Gabby Thomas was the big winner in Austin at the Texas Relays, winning the 100 in 10.88 with plus 0.2 wind, and the 200 in 22.08, that one was wind legal. She told us that she's ready to run with the heavy hitters of the 100 meters in her off event. U20 World Cross winner Marta Alameu of Ethiopia made her international debut and thrived at just 15 years old. Samuel Kibathi won the sprint to the finish in the men's U20 race and led Kenya to the team title. Carmela Cardama Baez has announced that she is no longer on the OAC. The 2021 NCAA 10K champion from Spain will remain with On. Texas A&M's Sam Whitmarsh hit the Olympic standard, winning the 800 at LSU this past weekend in 144.46. That required him dropping his personal best by 1.5 seconds. Watch the video and tell me he's not going to make the Olympic team. Jamaica ran the gauntlet at the Carifta Games, winning 84 medals. But the one that got the crowd most excited was Nicoy Bramwell's 400 meters, which broke Usain Bolt's record from 2002. Last bullet point, Sidious Mag was nominated for a Webby Award for our website and mobile site. So check that out. Give us a vote. Show your support. We're up against some pretty heavy hitters. I'll include the link to that in the show notes. All of your support is greatly appreciated. Thank you to On for sponsoring this week's newsletter. I know Penn Relays is near when the allergies start acting up, and it's almost time. Expect some fun content coming from the OAC on the Sidious Mag channels very soon. I've been Chris Chavez reading Kyle Merber's The Lap Count newsletter. To get this in your inbox every Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m., sign up at thelapcount.com. It's free and takes less than 30 seconds to subscribe. We'll see you next week.